Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning we have two readings. The first is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Today's second reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well.
This week has continued to be a difficult week for many. The number of coronavirus cases in the world has continued to rise. Where I am in the UK, for instance, there's now almost 600 cases. Stock markets in Asia and in other places around the world have plummeted. Even in Hong Kong, there's still the danger of a community outbreak, and things are not over yet. And I know that many of us will be feeling the personal impact in our lives of all of these things. And it's in this context that the faith of Moses, recorded for us in Hebrews 11, the passage that was just read for us, is especially relevant. Moses was born and lived during one of the lowest periods in Israel's history. And there were slaves in Egypt. It was a time when many people thought that God had abandoned them. But yet Moses lived a life that was filled with and was really driven by faith in God. And we can see the stages of his life in the verses that were read for us from Hebrews 11. From his birth to his giving up life at the Egyptian court to his leadership of God's people and ultimately leading them to freedom at the time of the Exodus. And so we're going to be looking this morning at four aspects of faith in this story that we can learn from. And so, first of all, we see faith and preservation. So interestingly, this story starts off not with Moses' faith, but with his preservation and with the faith of his parents. They were a little known couple. Most of us probably can't even remember their names, but yet God used them mightily to preserve Moses and to nurture him in his faith. You might remember that after Joseph, the people of Israel lived in Egypt for a long time, and then we read an ominous note in Exodus 1 verse 8. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. This new king turned against the people of Israel and made them into slaves, and eventually issued a decree that all the Hebrew baby boys were to be killed. And it's in this context that we read about the faith of Moses' parents in Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so Moses' parents take their newborn baby, and they hide him in their home for 3 months. And this verse also tells us the reasons why. First of all, it says that they saw that he was no ordinary child. Every parent always thinks that their baby is special and unique, but in the case of Moses, it was actually true. He was the one that God had chosen at exactly the right moment to reach his people and rescue them. And then it also says that they were not afraid of the king's edict. There must have been a great temptation for Moses' parents to be afraid. Pharaoh was a very powerful man. He literally held the power of life and death. If they were discovered, then probably the whole family would have been killed. But yet Moses' parents had faith and trusted in God, refusing to give in to fear. And so Moses was preserved. He was preserved by God, but yet the means that God used to preserve him was the faith of his parents. They had the faith to hide him, and later on, when that no longer became possible, they placed him in a basket in the reeds from where he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and again, he was miraculously preserved. And if you know the story, you will know how his sister offered to get Moses' mother to be his nurse, and Moses was brought up at Pharaoh's expense until he moved into the royal palace later on. It's an amazing story of faith and preservation. It shows us that God is working his purposes out. At this very low point in Israel's history, with a powerful and evil king arranged against them, God was at work through ordinary people to fulfill his plan of salvation. I also think there's great encouragement here for godly parents and godly grandparents. And Moses' parents must have been filled with fear and despaired of Moses ever growing up to know God once he went off to the Egyptian royal palace. But yet they reared him at their home in the ways of their faith, and they had to let him go, trusting in God for the future. For those of us who are parents, it's so easy to parent out of fear and anxiety. Fear of what will happen to our kids, fear maybe of what other people might think, fear of the world they are growing up in, fear that we aren't doing a good job. But yet Moses' parents teach us to parent out of faith. We can have faith in God for our kids. He is able to look after them and preserve them, and he is working his purposes out. I'm told that when communism fell in Eastern Europe, that the churches there were immediately filled with young people. And apparently one of the explanations for this is that while the children's parents were often at work or maybe at Communist Party meetings, that many of their grandmothers had prayed for them and had shared Christ with them. And so many of them were actually secretly nurtured in the faith. And I know from talking to many mainland Chinese Christians how it was often their grandparents who really prayed for them and who spoke to them about Christ. We may think we have little influence, but yet never underestimate the influence that you have as a Christian parent or grandparent. Moses' parents were just ordinary people, yet God used them, and he can use you too. So that's the first lesson that we see. Then we also see here faith and identification. So we pick up the story of Moses in Hebrews 11 and verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace and became known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Acts 7 verse 22 says that he grew up in all the wisdom and learning of the Egyptians, and that he was powerful in speech and action. Again, we can see God's hand of providence on him. God was preparing Moses by giving him all the education that he needed to fulfill God's plan as the future leader of Israel. But then verse 24 tells us that a time came when Moses had to make a crucial choice, a choice that was driven by his faith in God. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, on the surface of it, this might sound rather strange to us. There must have been plenty of reasons for Moses to have stayed at the royal palace. Presumably he was wealthy. Presumably there were good job prospects there. Presumably he could have had all the pleasure and security that he had ever wanted. Yet he chose to relinquish all that and identify himself instead with the suffering and mistreated people of God. And there's been lots of media coverage recently given to Prince Harry and Meghan's decision to relinquish their status as British royals. But that's exactly what Moses did too. But yet he wasn't doing it to go off and just do his own thing. He was doing it to stand with God's people and to really identify with them. So why did he do this? Why did Moses give up the comfort and the security of the palace to be mistreated with the people of God? Well, we are told that it was by faith. Moses had worked out that something else was more valuable instead. In verse 25, we are told, for instance, that he had worked out that sin and going his own way in life may have some pleasure, but yet he'd also worked out that the pleasures of sin are fleeting. They're short-lived. They all have an expiry date, and therefore they are not worth living for. Instead, in verse 26, we read that Moses was looking forward to his reward. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking forwards to his reward. So what was more valuable? Well, Moses had worked out that it was better to suffer now for the cause of Christ because ultimately that was more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. By faith, Moses was able to see things from an eternal perspective. The pleasures of sin last for a short while, but the reward for following Christ and identifying with his people lasts forever. And therefore, that has to be the best option. A few weeks ago, I took Joshua and Amelia to see the Scottish crown jewels. And we walked into the very first room and they immediately exclaimed, wow. And they began to touch the crown and the scepter that were lying there. The only problem was that they were looking at the bronze replicas. They weren't even looking at the real thing. The real crown jewels, the ones that really were valuable, were in the next room. They were the ones that really worth saying wow for. And that's really just a reminder that we need to evaluate things rightly. Evaluate value rightly. And God says that to be mistreated with the people of God now is actually more valuable than all the riches of Egypt because of the greatness of our eternal reward. And so really one question for each of us this morning is, will we identify with the people of God? Often Christians are looked down on in the world. In places like Pakistan and in parts of India, for instance, many Christians are from lower castes and have the most menial roles. To identify with them comes at great social cost. Even in Hong Kong, in your workplace, there may be an increasing cost to being a Christian, being thought of as being strange or intolerant, for instance. We know from the context here in the book of Hebrews that the social cost of being known as a Christian in their culture was so high that some had stopped meeting together with other Christians altogether. And so Moses' example here would have been of crucial importance to them. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose instead to be mistreated with the people of God. And we also see that Moses' faith was seen in the choices that he made in his life. He didn't just remain as a private believer in the palace, but his faith was actually seen and worked out in concrete ways. There were things he refused. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There were active choices that he made to identify with God's people, and there were value judgments that he needed to be clear on in his mind, that suffering for the sake of Christ now is worth it in light of our future reward. And so, what about us? Is our faith seen in the choices that we make? Does our faith have any impact on the career that we choose? the relationships that we build, how we spend our time, how we raise our kids. Well, Moses' example is one that reminds us that our faith is not a private affair, needs to work its way out into our lives. Then, more briefly, let's go on and look at verse 27 and 28. So in verse 27, we see faith and perseverance. So we need to pick up the story of Moses once again. Exodus 2 tells the story where after Moses had identified with the people of God, he comes across an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Moses probably assumes rationally that now is the time for him to step up and to set God's people free. And so he has a quick look around him and then kills the Egyptian and buries his body in the sand. The next day comes. This time it's two Hebrews who are arguing with one another. Moses asks one of them, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And then we read this in Exodus 2, verse 14 and 15. The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And so this is the context for Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, some people get a little bit confused by Exodus 2, verse 14, saying that Moses was afraid, and then Hebrews 11, verse 27, saying that Moses was not afraid of the king's anger. But I think the best way to understand it is that Moses was initially afraid, but he very soon overcame his fear of the king and fled to Midian, trusting that this was God's plan for him by faith. Really, the issue for Moses, like for many of us, was one of timing. I think that Moses rushes in and kills this Egyptian, thinking that now is the time for him to become leader. He's doing everything in his own strength. But he doesn't reckon on the fact that God needs time to prepare him first. He expects that the Israelites will rise up in support of him, but they don't. Then he's killed this Egyptian, so he can't go back to the royal palace either. And so God uses all of these things to send him into the wilderness where he can come to an end of himself and come to trust in God fully. It reminds us that it's not enough just to start with God and to identify with his people. We also need to submit to God's discipline and the lessons that he wants to teach us. And it says that the reason that Moses can persevere in all this is because he sees him who is invisible. Now, I know that that phrase sounds a bit strange and maybe even a little bit contradictory. How can you see someone who is invisible? But I don't think that this means that Moses saw God with his naked eye. I think it means that Moses was able to keep going through his 40 years in the wilderness by faith. By faith, he was able to perceive that God's hand was at work. He was able to sense that God was at work in his life, and so he kept going and did not give up. And so the application for us here, I think, is quite easy. There will be many times when we cannot understand what's going on. Like Moses, there may be times when we find ourselves in the wilderness and we may even want to give up. Yet the example of Moses reminds us that even then, God is still at work and we need to learn to see where he is at work in our lives. I'm sure it was hard for Moses as he waited for, first of all, 5, then maybe 10, then 15, then 20, then 25 years as he waited for God's work in him to be finished. There were maybe times when Moses wanted to quit, but yet he kept going because he could see him who is invisible. See, the whole nature of faith is that we can see what is unseen, especially when times are hard. And so in the current situation, it may well be that God is calling many of us to learn to see the invisible. We may have many questions. We may be experiencing many difficulties because of the virus. But yet God is calling us to see the invisible and to trust that he is at work. How might God be at work? Well, he might be strengthening the faith of Christians. He might be drawing those who are not yet Christians to him. He might be exposing our need of him and showing us that we aren't as in control as we often like to think. If you're someone who is trusting in Jesus, then we can learn to see the invisible. We don't see Christ, but yet by faith, we know that he is ruling and he is working his purposes out. Faith sees what is unseen. And then last of all, we also see faith and salvation. And this brings us to verse 28 and the best known part of Moses' story. At the end of his 40 years in Midian, God appears to Moses at the burning bush and sends him back to Egypt. This time, the time was right for Moses to lead the people. Moses goes to Pharaoh and he orders him, "Let my people go." Pharaoh refuses, and God then brings a series of plagues on Egypt. At various times, Pharaoh appears to relent, and then he hardens his heart once more. This happens 9 times, and then there came a final 10th plague. This was the plague of the firstborn. Moses warned that God would send an angel of death among the people, and the firstborn of every house where there was not the blood of a lamb painted on the doorposts would be killed. And so this is what verse 28 means when it says, "By faith he kept the Passover and the application of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." And so this was a great test of faith for Moses and the people. It was a great test of faith for Moses because he had to stand before them and tell them to kill a lamb and then paint its blood on the doorposts of their homes. But it was also a great test for the people. As one commentator has said, they brought their united and unqualified obedience to the Lord. The instructions were strange, the demands costly, a lamb without blemish, and the ritual unprecedented. But they did precisely as they were told. In simple faith, they kept the Passover. And so we see Moses' faith. Moses believed that God was serious when he said that he would pass through the land and his judgment was coming. And he believed that God was telling the truth when he said that the blood of a lamb that had been killed in their place would keep them safe. The Egyptians, they probably thought that Moses was crazy. What on earth was he doing, painting the blood of a lamb on his doorposts? But yet he was being obedient to God and was trusting in him. For Moses, he trusted in the blood of a lamb. For us, we are to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, our substitute, to deliver us from God's wrath. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and therefore we can know that we are saved now if we are trusting in him. As it says in Romans 5, verse 9, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" And so praise God that he has provided a substitute for us. This is not something that God had to do, but something that he did solely out of his love and his great compassion for us. His judgment on our sin and rebellion is real, but even more real is his mercy and love towards us in providing a lamb to take the punishment instead of us. If we've turned towards him in repentance and faith, and his blood is on our doorposts, and we know that we will be saved from the coming wrath. And that's great news. I know that many of us believe these things, but this also needs to be something that continues to move us, that moves our hearts to love and praise. It is the heart of Moses' faith, faith in the substitute that God had provided, and it needs to be the heart of ours too. And so I pray that these things are real for you this morning. I pray that we can live a life filled with faith like Moses. By faith, the faith of his parents, he was preserved. By faith, he identified with God's people because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he persevered, seeing the one who is invisible. And by faith, he was saved, trusting in the Lamb that God has provided for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks for your servant Moses, and we do pray that you would help us to emulate his faith, that we might be those that would look forward to our future reward, that we might be aware of your work in us, even in difficult times, and that we will trust in Christ as the Lamb of God, the one you have provided for the forgiveness of sins. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name.